Well, good morning, 3CI. It's a Rockstar series. We're nearly finished. We've got a couple weeks to go. Thank you for coming through the drive-through last week. Stephen is recovering. And thank you for all your prayers for the Dolenberg family. And thank you to the Andrews for the last 2 weeks of preaching. It's been fantastic. I get the privilege of closing the series this week and next week. And it's a long passage of scripture. Stick with me. It's going to come up on the screen. But once we've read the whole text, I'll give you the title and then we're going to pull some things out of it. We're picking up in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Massively important, friends. The second coming of Christ is what gives Christians the ability to persevere in tough times. Peter had seen Jesus in his glory. He was reminding the Christians not to give up. It's been a difficult season, but Jesus is coming and we've got the hope of that. For he received honor and glory. We were eyewitnesses of this. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my son," the first name of God in this book. "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So we've got eyewitnesses and we've got ear witnesses. "And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a shining light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts." That's where we get the star from, the rock star. Comes from Numbers 24. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture," capital S Scripture, representing Jesus, "came about the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And so we have the Father speaking, we have the Son in all his glory, and we have the Holy Spirit. "But there were also false prophets from the people, just as there will be false teachers amongst you." You know, friends, it says when Jesus is talking to Christians, he says to them in Matthew chapter 10, "You must be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves," even in the church, because in the church are false teachers and false people. And sometimes we go into business deals with Christians innocently. The Bible says you must be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. If somebody gives you a beer at an office party, you must accept that beer innocently. And you must accept that beer shrewdly, because not everything that's given to you is innocent, even if it's done by Christians. And so we mustn't just be innocent, we must actually be shrewd when we deal with people. "They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute." Friends, as Christians, we believe that the truth is Jesus and it's revealed in the scriptures. That's a certainty for Christians. What the scripture is saying is that there are other teachers that are coming in, and because we live in a world where truth is relative, they're going to re-describe truth for you. So you can be in a bunch of university students, you can meet in a res afterwards, 10 young men, and you can actually construct truth around sexuality. You can sit and talk and decide what you believe is truth around sexuality. What Peter's doing, he's coming to the end of his life. He's very passionate. He's made many mistakes. He's had a revelation of Jesus, and he wants to leave some warning words to the church, particularly around three areas: sexuality, finances, and power, authority. He's very, very adamant that he's seen God in these three areas, and he's saying, "But there are teachers amongst you, there are people amongst you that are going to build their relative truth that you're going to grab hold of and you think you're going to be serving God." Peter says there's only one way. It's Jesus and it's the Bible, and there's a voice from the Father led by the Spirit. That's the truth that we go into. It goes on to say this. "In their greed," so there's money involved, "these teachers will exploit you with stories that they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah. Underline that word, protected Noah. God knows how to protect us in difficult times. A preacher of righteousness. I want to be known as a preacher of righteousness. The world is going down. Pornography is going up. Sin is entering the world. Racism is rife. Prejudice is rife. Greed is rife. We need a generation of preachers of righteousness to rise up and to stand strong. It doesn't matter if people condemn us and criticize us. In the midst of everything that's going on, we need men of righteousness and women of righteousness to stand up and to preach, to stand strong, knowing that God will protect us. If everybody exposes us, God will protect us. And seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom is where we get our word sodomy from, sexual perversions taking place. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, protected Noah, rescued Lot, a righteous man. God knows how to rescue us, even when you're living in difficult circumstances. Who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Friends, one of the greatest ways to keep preaching Christ is to stay sensitive to sin and not become blasé about anything that takes place. We should be tortured by everything that does not represent Christ. Racism should not be tolerated. Greed should not be tolerated. Jealousy and unforgiveness should not be tolerated. It should torment us. Overeating, gluttony, and pornography should not be tolerated. Peter's coming to the end of his life and saying, guys, it's difficult out there, but we need men of righteousness to stand. God will rescue you. God will protect you, but stand for something. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. And there's the third thing. So we've got money, we've got sex, and we've got people who are anti-authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts too, they will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight, freedom of sexuality. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures, while they feast with you amongst the church. In the book of Jude, it says, these men sit at your love feasts. They are like shepherds who feed only themselves. They are like trees who produce no fruit, clouds that produce no rain, wandering stars. Friends, we need Bible teachers to rise up at this time, that if they preach about clouds, they will rain upon the people. If they preach about trees, they will give fruit to the people. If they preach about waves, there will be substance in their preaching. If they preach about direction, there will be a star for people to follow. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor. Balaam prophesied the star in the first part of this chapter. Numbers 24 is the prophecy of Balaam. But Balaam has wandered off. Who loved the wages of wickedness. It says in the book of Jude, he loved the profit, he loved money. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained, we're going to speak about that word, restrained the prophet's madness. These men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow, say with me, a sow, a female pig, a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Friends, it is an intense scripture. It is complicated, but it's coming from a man who is very passionate at the end of his life to make sure that we are sticking to the ways of Christ. And so my message title this morning is Between a Son and a Sow. Between a Son and a Sow. The Son, Jesus Christ, revealed Himself on the Mount of Transfiguration in all His glory. If you have time to read it in Mark chapter 9, it says this: Jesus Christ appeared with Peter, James, and John. His clothes were dazzling white, whiter than anybody in the world could ever bleach them. So on this side, friends, we have a Son in perfect glory. And Peter says, this is just a little picture of what the second coming is going to look like. It's difficult now. You're living amongst sexually perverse people. You're living amongst greedy people who are trying to make a buck out of everything, ripping people off financially. You're living amongst a rebellious group of people who want to live autonomous, independent lives without any form of government. And he says, I'm telling you, this is what we're going to do. We're either going to aim towards Christ, and we're going to live in the glory of clothes that are undefiled, or you're going to start like Balaam, wandering back towards the mud that you've been cleaned from. Like a pig that has been cleaned, it's going to go back to the mud. You see, friends, we use the phrase like a pig in mud to actually speak about somebody who's in a very homely environment. So Clint behind a coffee machine is like a pig in mud. Some of you guys in on the golf course, like a pig in mud, that you were just designed to play golf. But we use it as an incredible, it's like a blessing. But the Bible doesn't use it like that. A pig in mud means your old nature is going back to its dirty ways. And Peter's saying, we've had such a revelation of Jesus. Now, because his time of coming has been delayed, some of you are wandering back into your old ways. And Peter's saying, please don't do that. Please, I want to remind you, I have seen him. I've heard him. I have read about him. And friends, I don't know which way we're talking. And Clint and I were talking the other day, and he said, Rory, how come it is that porno seems to be a greater sin in the church than gluttony? When there's so many overweight people, I said, Clint, I'm the one that God's dealt with. And so let me speak as a glutton. Let me speak as one who's eaten too much. And God says to me, are you going to go towards the sun or are you going to go towards the sow? And I say, God, I want to come towards you. And he says, well, then you have to let the scriptures open up to you. You have to let the sun consume you. You have to have a revelation of the glory of Jesus. Friends, this is how you eat less. You don't just break your body down and put a whole lot of self-control systems on place. Peter's saying, you've got to see Christ. And so I was reading the scriptures, and it says this in John chapter 4. The disciples go off to get food. They come back and they say to Jesus, you must eat. And he says, but I'm not hungry. And they said, well, he must have eaten somewhere else. And he says to the disciples, I have food you know not of. My food is to do the will of the Father. And when I read that, I realized that if I do the Father's will, he will deal with my hunger. And friends, I am on a journey towards the Son. I'm on a journey towards the glory. I don't want my weight to live in the pigsty with the pigs. I don't want to be an overweight pastor. But it's not just by self-control and digging deep. How do you deal with pornography? Because some of you are taking your sexuality and you're walking towards the pigsty. You're walking back into the mud because you're living with disappointment in your heart. Friends, the only way you can deal with porno is not by throwing a brick through your TV screen. It's by walking closer to the Son, by the Spirit, with the Scriptures, as the morning star rises inside of your heart. And Peter's saying, there's a group of teachers that are coming amongst you that are watering the gospel down and trying to take you on the way of Balaam, trying to get you away from the straight road, trying to get you in that direction. You know, friends, we could actually label this preach the three cows, the one donkey, the one dog, and the pig. And if you read the scripture clearly, you'll see there are three cows in this video. There's one donkey, one dog, and one pig. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit. But you know what it says earlier in the book of Peter? It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Peter says, just God is so good. It's like a finely prepared meal. Or like a dog who vomits, your old way of life, when you've got nothing else to do, when you're bored, when you're hungry, when you're tired, when you're about to sin lustfully, you go back and you eat your vomit. And Peter at the end of his life says, please don't be like a dog and go back and eat your vomit. Rather come into the glory and taste and see that the Lord is good. Don't go back like a pig to the mud. Don't do that. You know, friends, a donkey is what we call a dumbass. It is the dumbest animal ever, and yet it's got a prophet sitting on top of it. Balaam the prophet that prophesied the morning star. But he has been gripped by money, and he's been gripped by sex, because he says the only way to make God's people sin is by sending women amongst them that will make them sin. So he's wandered off the way, and an angel stands in front of them, and the donkey sees the angel, and the prophet can't see the angel. Because God is showing us that actually, sometimes we get so dumb, we become so blinded, we become so deaf, because these other teachers, the society, Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah's day, the culture of the day, sexuality culture, financial culture, is shouting at us so loudly that we can't see clearly the ways of God. The fourth animal, friends, I want to speak to you about today that's not in this story, but it relates to this story, is the golden calf. A donkey, a pig, a dog, and three cows. A golden calf. And this is what it says in the book of Exodus 32. It says, when the people saw that Moses was a long time in coming from the mountain, what Peter is saying, guys, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. You've got to be patient. You think, when is he coming back? We've been through COVID. Some of you have lost your businesses. Some of you are economically tough and say, God, where are you? Don't listen to the false teachers. Don't listen to the men who have got clouds but no rain, trees but no fruit, stars but wandering. Listen to the scriptures. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the internal voice. Listen to the shepherds that God has placed in charge of you. And then it says this. It says they took off their gold earrings and they made a golden calf. And they worshipped the golden calf. And Moses came down and he says this. He says, Moses could see that Aaron had let the people run wild. Run wild. Friends, that means they have thrown off restraint. God's people, who couldn't handle the delay of God's coming through Moses, threw their gold jewelry into a pot that made a calf for them to worship. You can read it in Exodus chapter 32. It says they threw off restraints, exactly the same. This is what it says in Proverbs 29 verse 16 or verse 18. It says this, without revelation, people cast off restraint. It's exactly the same terminology, friends. It says here that the angel restrained the maddening behavior of Balaam. And the only thing that will restrain God's people in these three areas, money, sex, and power, will be a revelation of Jesus dressed in dazzling white clothes. We never restrain God's people by control systems. I don't stop eating by control systems. I stop eating by revelation of Jesus, His body perfectly formed. And when I look at that and I get infatuated by that, because inside of each one of us is a hole that needs to be worshipped, friends. And if you are not infatuated with the purity of Christ, then you'll end up with a pit of the pig and operating in a place of lustfulness and pornography. Be infatuated with Christ. Get a revelation of Christ, not so that you can be controlled, but so that you can be restrained. Not by control systems, by revelation. Without revelation, people cast off restraint. The opposite of that is, with revelation, people live under restraint. 80% of you watching this video today have probably got no clue on what the Scripture and the Son and the Spirit teach about finances. You don't know what the ultimate truth of finances is. So you will determine your financial position based on your coffee shop at work, based on the people that you studied with, based on the people that you hang around with in the office every day. And you know what the Scripture says? It will lead to destruction, and eventually it will lead to the pit. I want to ask you this very simple question. Are you closer to the Son, or are you closer to the pig? Which one are you closer to? This one says men despised authority. You know, friends, at the greatest crisis of my life, one of the elders of 3CR, not my elders, the elders, because we are an eldership team, they walked into my office and they said, "Rory, your life is out of control. You're too busy, you're tired, you're strong, and people are getting hurt." And he said, "These are the six things that we think that you have to adjust." And I said, "I think they're wrong." And he said, "We thought you would think they're wrong, but will you trust us and submit to us?" And that day something happened. That day I submitted to authority. And that restraining that came upon me has taken me far closer to the Son and far away from the pig. You see, friends, every one of us has got strength. When that strength is not under the authority of God and God's people, it always drifts towards the pigsty. Friends, I want to ask you this. Your sexuality, Peter's crying out. He's saying, "Guys, they're teachers. There's Sodom and Gomorrah. There's unrighteous living. They are kissing and cuddling in broad daylight, and they're saying it's right." He said, your sexuality has got to get close to Jesus. Your finances have got to get close to Jesus. Your authority and your gifts and your expertise and your resources and your qualities have got to get close to the Son. But there is an incredible pressure in society that's pulling them closer and closer and closer towards the pigsty. You say to me, "Rory, but don't we live under grace?" Well, absolutely we live under grace. So what happens in these three areas? Your money, your sexuality, and your authority. You've completely rebelled. You've completely broken faith with God in all ways. You've completely gone against everything that God has said. And you are sitting right now in a pit of mud with the pigs. The great story of the Bible, one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Some preachers say it is the greatest story in the Bible. It's found in Luke chapter 15. There's a young man, but he's a rebel. He wants to be independent. He doesn't want to live under his father. He wants to rule his own life. It happened in the Garden of Eden, friends, when God asked man, he just gave them one instruction. And man wanted to live independently. And this is what it says in the last verse of Genesis, is they buried him in a coffin. God designed us to live in a garden, but because man wants to be autonomous, the book of Genesis ends in a coffin, friends. There is something inside of us that wants to be autonomous and independent, and I don't want Adrian to tell me what to do. But I have pathology. I've got an upbringing. I have got defects. I've got excesses. And I need to be under authority of fellow elders. I need to be under the authority of my government. Otherwise, I will speed at 200 kilometers an hour wherever I drive, and I will cause an accident and kill someone. And so authorities put up a restraining order on the side of the road that says 120. not to control me, friends, but to protect everybody around me, including myself, from causing an accident. Friends, laws and life and the Spirit of God and values and scriptures are given to us as restrainers so that we can actually flourish, not so that we can be controlled. And this young man rebels against his dad. It says he goes off into a far land. He loves money. He says to his dad, "Give me my inheritance. Give it to me." And he takes his inheritance and he goes and squanders it, the Bible says, with prostitutes. He's got a problem with authority. He's got a problem with money. He's got a problem with women. And he ends up in a pit with the pigs. And then he sits and he thinks, "What can I do?" And he thinks about his dad. And he thinks about home. And he said, "If I go home," the Bible says he came to his senses. He said, "If I go home, maybe my father will make me like one of his slaves." And it's the only time in the whole Bible, friends, as he comes over the horizon, that his father runs toward. The only time the father runs in the whole Bible is towards a son who's been in the mud with the pigs, who's misunderstood authority, misunderstood finances, misunderstood sexuality. But when he comes back, his father throws a robe over him. In the Bible, that robe is called the robe of righteousness. From this particular story, Peter's telling us what that robe looks like. It is dazzling white. Whiter than any man could ever bleach it. And I want to appeal to you today. We are in a journey, in a tough environment, with many things happening. And Peter's saying, Jesus is coming again. There will be a judgment. I implore you from the bottom of my heart, live your life in sexual purity. Live your life with financial integrity. Live your life with humility. Let others speak into your life. And we will represent the Son in all His glory. And we will rescue people from the pigsty, one by one. And as they come to God, instead of finding a judging God, they're going to find one who throws a robe over them, a robe of righteousness. There's a donkey that spoke because he saw God. Don't go back to the dog, to the vomit. Don't be found with the pigs in the mud. Don't throw your treasures into a golden calf. Allow the Father, the fifth animal, allow the Father to kill the fattened calf for you. Allow Him to welcome you back. And if you're wondering where the sixth animal comes from, well, just look hard. You'll find it somewhere on this video. 3CI. Peter is digging from the very depths of his soul. He's speaking to young people. He's speaking to old people. He's speaking to rich people and poor people and black people. He's saying, "Hey guys, Noah flew the flag in the midst of tough times. Lot flew the flags in the midst of tough times. It doesn't matter what the relative world is saying. I'm asking you, 3CI, to fly the flag of sexuality, finances, and authority in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen." God bless you.